Your mother's name. I got to go back and compliment you. Yes, you were in the sixth grade.
Yes, sir.
When this became of interest to you.
Well, because I was in an Oklahoma history class, and of course I'm going to school in Watts, Oklahoma, where my grandfather drove me down from his old dilapidated house to tell me about Fort Wayne. And I said, "Granddad, what's Fort Wayne?" He said, "Oh, it was one of the first forts in Oklahoma, built in the 1830s. He said, "Matter of fact," he said, "Daniel Boone's son came here with the United States Army, and they built this fort to protect the Cherokees that were being moved here." And he said, "And it stood right here in Mr. Wilson's field." And there were people that would, turn up all sorts of artifacts, which I was fascinated with. Here's a bullet or part of a buckle from the 1830s. And it's right here in the very town where I was going to school. So as I made my way into sixth grade, which was required in the 60s to take Oklahoma history class, it was all fascinating because it was relevant. Now, that pesky land run, out in Oklahoma, that may as well have been studying the Pleiades. That was just in another constellation somewhere. But Cherokee removal, early forts, Civil War battles, all sorts of things that were right there in my Oklahoma history.
You were saying the land run was not of interest to you.
It was of no interest. As a matter of fact, I had never been further west than probably Muskogee, Oklahoma at that age.
Right. Your mother's name, maiden name, and where she was born.
Yeah. Bobby Lee Jones. And she was born in Prior Creek near Chimney Rock Hollow. Her parents, my grandfather, after World War I, took his mustering out pay in 1918, along with his brother, Dan, who was born 9 months and 10 minutes after him. And they took their mustering pay and they bought 21 teams of Belgian draft horses, and they went in from Northwest Arkansas. They trucked them to a place called the Burbank Oil Field in the early 1920s because they knew there was work there. They knew how to work horses, and in those days, if you were going to drill oil wells out in a field, and you needed horses to be able to take steam engines or other platform drilling devices to drill those wells, and they made a ton of money during the 1920s. My grandmother said in 1926 they bought a Model T ton truck. They followed the play throughout Oklahoma through the 1920s until the slump came in 1926. Not the depression, but the slump. It's when the Seminole field came in 26. It produced so much oil that it depressed the price of oil per barrel internationally. And my grandfather's company, which was an oil field servicing company, had a contract with Magnolia Petroleum Company, Big Maggie as he called her. And in their contracts, they had the ability to conclude their contracts at any time. And our family had to sell everything to return to Prior Creek.
Well, I've never heard of the slump before, so that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Right. Millions of barrels.
So then you're back to your mother.
Yeah.
What was she like, and describe her personality?
Oh, she was very much the combination of my maternal grandparents. My grandfather, Grandfather Jones, was just a character. He had a great sense of humor. He had a great interest in history. His grandfather had fought in the Mexican War. He had all sorts of stories growing up near Hyphal, Arkansas. My grandmother was a birch. She provided me with a real interest in history because her grandfather did not pass away until she was 9 years old. He had fought with the 18th Missouri Infantry for the Confederacy during the Civil War and fought in places like Chickamauga and all those large battles in the East. And so as a child interested in history, I thought, I have almost a first-person connection with people who were actually there. My mother was a phenomenal combination of those two people. She had an appreciation for family. She had an appreciation for our ancestry, and she was a hard worker. She was a woman who introduced poultry operations to Northwest Arkansas when in 1954 she contracted with the Charlie George Poultry Company in Springdale, Arkansas, and borrowed money and built two brooding houses that were 100 feet long. It had almost 2,500 chickens in it. As a child, I stayed mesmerized by her vaccinating, feeding, watering those chickens. And of course, when the chicken catchers came, that was interesting. And she always kept back about 15 or 20 hens for herself, which we slaughtered and put in the deep freeze. And Mom was a hard worker.
She was a businesswoman.
She was a businesswoman, and she and my father together, they were business people.
All right. So then your father's name?
Dennis Charles Hanna, citizen of the Cherokee Nation, one quarter by blood, born in east of Stillwell in Adair County, within spitting distance of where his mother's family, the Stars. His mother was Gataya Star, means cherry, and the Star family is very prominent in the Cherokee Nation. My father was born in a log cabin house that was within probably 100 yards of where his great-great-great-grandparents ended their journey on the Trail of Tears.
And then his personality, was he same as your mother's, or was he, and what did you draw from him?
Uniquely different in the fact that he was raised during the 1920s and into the Depression era, but in a little bit different type of economic condition. My mother's people were hardworking farmers. I mean, you know, she knew how to keep a garden. She knew how to hunt. She knew how to fish. She knew how to do those things. My father's father, William Thomas Hanna, had been drafted during World War I, served with the 90th Division. And oddly enough, his company, they were all mostly Cherokees. They all came from Adair County. The 90th was a draft division. And he arrived in France in June of 1918, and his first big engagement was unfortunately at the San Mihail Salient battle in September of 1918. And in the opening days of that battle, he was severely wounded by shrapnel. We still have one piece of almost five that were removed from his back. His doctor gave it to him, and he said, "You should put this on your watch fob later in life."